You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, a guy who can give you a hug if you need it. Always there for you. You're listening to us today live either on the air or on the stream or on the Civic Media app. It's great to have you here sharing time with us this morning on a Tuesday where it's, oh my goodness, the weather balloon for Civic Media Mid-Morning is reporting a balmy 38 degrees in Racine at Radio Park. I'm assuming, Jim, you are in Milwaukee, so probably around the same thing in the upper 30s. That's right, folks. We're getting closer and closer. Doesn't mean we're out of the woods yet. We're still in February, and February is young, and February can have its revenge.
Right. But right now, you never know. Sometimes even March, as we know well. Sometimes April, right?
Sometimes there's a snowstorm in May. Right. So that was 35 years ago this year. That hurt to say out loud. But we are here with you today. If you want to get in touch with us, call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, the platform we still call Twitter. And if you are listening to us on the app, it's absolutely free. You can call, text, or send us a voice message. We'd love to hear from you, especially for the folks who are listening to us out of state, out of Wisconsin, out of Midwest, maybe around the world. My goal is to have someone listening to us on the International Space Station, but goals are important to set. I will keep that one manageable. But we are talking to Jim Santel this morning about all the important news coming out of the world of law. Jim is the host of Amicus, a law review. It's here on Civic Media every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. You can always catch up by going to civicmedia.us/shows. You can catch up on the old episodes. I highly recommend you listen to it because it really explains all the important news stories along with where we can go from here, essentially. What are the pathways to, if we're talking about preserving democracy, preserving justice, what's in the headlines, and where do we go from here? Good morning. Welcome back, Jim. Always love having you on the show. Before we went on the air today, you sent me an email with a lot of stuff, and we could have been talking about that for a half an hour, but I'm like, Pink Floyd and stuff, and you were very...
I'm with you, right?
But let's kick off what you wanted to discuss, which was the fact that an important matter involving Steve Bannon has been released.
Yeah, and again, Steve Bannon, in and out of our courts routinely, we know who he is, principally in the first administration. Remember that this is a fellow who has gotten lots of breaks, and he's got another one from the Department of Justice just recently. You may recall that during the course of the review by that House committee on January 6th, he was subpoenaed along with another guy named Peter Navarro, who was the trade advisor. And Steve Bannon, he decides not to show up, and the Congress refers this to the Department of Justice. They prosecute him. He is convicted by a jury. Important to know, unanimously convicted by a jury for contempt of Congress. He is sentenced to a whopping 4 months in prison. He serves that. He has continued to appeal his conviction all the way up to the Supreme Court, where it's been pending recently. And lo and behold, just yesterday, our Solicitor General, his name is John Sauer, on behalf of the Attorney General, on behalf of your president, has told the Supreme Court, never mind. We're asking you to send this back down to the lower court, and we're going to dismiss the prosecution, dismiss the indictment, basically getting rid of the conviction and wiping this one clean as well, which again is a pattern that this administration has done with pardons. Other things in the connection with pardons, you may recall well that he's already benefited from the fact that even before he went to trial, remember he had that fraud case pending that had to do with a group backing the border wall and financing there. He was charged with basically fraud in misusing some money for that group. What happens? Donald Trump pardons him before it goes to trial. So this is at least the second time that the president and the administration has come in to save him from his criminal conduct. And yes, indeed, contempt of Congress is criminal in nature. Now we've got, and the Supreme Court will almost certainly dismiss the case, send it back, and then a federal judge in the District of Columbia will dismiss this. And Steve Bannon, again, escapes from justice. I raise it not only because of Steve Bannon's notoriety, but also because it underscores this continuing effort, successful when you're in power, to use the levers of power to undermine the system. things that you and I, Greg, and your listeners and Dom and others, if we will never get in trouble of this sort, hopefully, but if you did in fact find yourself running afoul of the criminal justice system, probably the president would not come to our aid, nor should he. These pardons, these dismissals of these cases, they're not premised upon justice, even though your Solicitor General says in its prosecutor discretion, dismissal of the criminal case against Steve Bannon is in the interests of justice. What are those? What are those, Mr. Solicitor General? I'd really like to know. That's the news coming out of your Department of Justice, the latest outrage from just yesterday.
We were sold a bill of goods last year, in my opinion, Jim, that was about getting rid of fraud, waste, and abuse. And among the people that the president has pardoned have been some of the biggest fraudsters on earth. Yes. Steve Bannon used the border security topic, building the wall, to secure, I think it was $1 million, if not more. He used that money to buy a boat. He committed fraud. A woman who solicited money to build a statue commemorating, I believe, a police officer was busted and arrested and was about to be thrown in jail. And I think just before she was about to serve her sentence, she was pardoned. The list goes on. And those are some of, and you know this, those are some of the low ticket offenders on the amount of money. We get into the billions of dollars and the absolute crimes of some of these individuals. And it all just becomes, it's a matter of justice for the good of the people, for the good of America. And you are absolutely right. These are not circumstances in which we would enjoy the president's attention, because I don't have the money to tell everyone that I love President Trump. I don't have that kind of cash on me, but I know that if I did, all I would have to do is whine a little bit, throw a little money to a ballroom or a quote library, and I'm going to be scot-free. I'm out. Right. And that's it. And that's the thing too, is like, these people can't be recharged. Once they're pardoned, they're done. That's it. And I mean, I don't know, like, how, you know, from your point of view, Jim, and if you're just joining us right now in Civic Media Mid-Mornings, we are talking to Jim Santel, the host of Amicus, a law review every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. where he talks, all things important out of the world of law. How do you feel, from a precedent standpoint, how has this administration harmed the pardon process and the legitimacy of the pardoning as a power of the presidency, as well as just something, you know, folks like me and you could possibly get one day if we did the actual work? Because getting a pardon is almost like, it's like part and parcel to citizenship. You don't just get one usually. You have to, like, there's a long process, and then you are vetted and you might be the best person ever, and they may just say, not today, sorry, but not anymore. What has it done to the pardon process?
It has completely eviscerated it again. I think I've used that word twice now in one morning, and destroyed it. It has undermined it, because there used to be a thing, and there still is, inside the Department of Justice, called the Office of Pardon Attorney. And that's exactly what you're talking about, Greg. You and I want to, or anyone wants to seek a pardon, you submit an application. Mm-hmm. The standards up to now, again, during this administration, during the Trump first administration, have been typically you got to wait 5 years after your conviction is complete, you're off paper, you're no longer being supervised. You've got to basically admit that you have done this underlying bad thing. You've got to confess, if you haven't already, I committed bank fraud. I stormed the Capitol, right? I did all these things. And number three, and maybe this is the big one, there's got to be something about your life that shows that you are redeeming not only your life, helping other people, doing things in the community. Some people look at it and say, you know what? This person made a mistake. They acknowledge it. Time has passed. Mm-hmm. And now look at these good things we're benefiting from. All of that, you put that in the mix and you say, yeah, that's a person who deserves to be pardoned. What is happening with this president, of course, is number one, this guy named Ed Martin, who is much of the news these days. He's been in charge of the Office of the Pardon Attorney. An awful lot to believe that we're not using that process at all because of the people that we're seeing being pardoned here. Wonder out loud if Steve Bannon really had that application pending there. Probably not, because again, what I just described, it's not absolutely required. It's not in the Constitution. President could wake up tomorrow, as he does routinely, and say, you know what, 1,500 people who tried to overthrow the government, I'm going to pardon all of them. My guess is they didn't all file applications for pardons, and yet he can do it. And the other piece of this, which of course is about history going forward, is you can't reverse those. You can't challenge them in court. Legislation does not overturn them. The only thing that does happen, reminded when your last comment, is many of these folks who've been pardoned in the wake of January 6th have committed more crimes. Fascinating. Some of them have argued in court, well, the president's previous pardon of me should apply to this crime as well. Courts have rejected that. And then in a few instances, the president has subsequently pardoned them again for the new crime. And what that means is that we have taken pardon authority in those instances and generally in the process and completely undermined what the purpose of it was, which was the Supreme Court speaks about pardon authority as being mercy and being an equitable power of the president and doing something that's good for Americans. That's not what's going on. You're rewarding your political allies. You're not so much punishing those. Maybe you're punishing those who are not getting pardons, but you're doing things once again. And you're also sending the message, you get in trouble in the law, and you know what? I will take care of you. It's the anti-deterrent argument, right? You get in trouble, just call up the West Wing and we'll see what we can do for you. That's not how it was intended to be used. And again, to your question, how does the next administration restore that notion, restore that confidence in the pardon authority and the process that we've just talked about? That's another very big lift.
Well, and if there, you know, if a Democrat wins the presidency in 2028, once again, all of the laser focus will be on them, on anyone they pardon, because that's how it's always been. I mean, it's really, there's been a focus on who any president pardons, but Democrats tend to get more scrutiny, whereas, you know, blanket pardons for the Biden family. And there's discussions to be made about pardons that all presidents do, whether we're talking Scooter right. Libby or, you know, whatever it is. Will we go back to the way it was? Will there be a laser focus? Or, you know, will Congress have to look at this? Does Congress have any power to step in on this process, to rework it, to make sure there's more legitimacy, more process? Or is it because constitutional granted powers in the executive that it's sort of like, sorry, too bad, this is the president. If the president wants to wake up and re-pardon 1,600 people who stormed the Capitol, he can do that because that's just his prerogative.
Right. It's pretty tough. The Constitution is pretty unassailing about unforgiving about that power. You can amend the Constitution, of course. That's a really big lift. And yes, the Congress creates the Office of the Pardon Attorney. It can do all kinds of things. The president has to sign off on that legislation. Again, unlikely that will happen. They can pass resolutions of disgust and of dismay about what's going on. Not a lot you can do about it. This is one of those where the founding fathers really thought, you know what? Let's vest this one authority in the president and we'll call upon him, maybe her one day, to exercise this largesse and do something the king used to do, right? Mm-hmm. And it has now been wildly abused. James Madison would not recognize it today.
We're going to keep talking with Jim Santel, host of Amicus Law Review, every Saturday, 9 to 11 here on Civic Media. Richard in Waukesha, I see you. Don't go anywhere. I'll take you on the other side of the break. But we're talking right now about all the important news coming out of the world of law. After the 10:30 news, we're talking about the coming spring. What are you doing in those last few weeks of winter? Want to hear from you. Give a call. Give a text. The number's the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You're listening to Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is Greg Pock. Dom is in Madison. Jim is our guest. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. I'm your host, your buddy, your pal, your authority on all things Pink Floyd and lesser authority on things jazz. But you are with us this morning today. We appreciate you sharing time. If you want to be part of the conversation, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can always listen to us live by getting the Civic Media app on your device. You can listen to us anywhere in the world. You can listen to talk. You can listen to music. You can look at the news. It's all there on the Civic Media app. Get it in your life. It's app absolutely free. So we've been talking to Jim Santel, host of Amicus Law Review, on every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Civic Media, about all the major news coming out of the world of law, including pardons abound, trying to suppress our votes, all those types of things. It seems always there's never a shortage of news, Jim, but it always seems to echo the same. It's always just variations on a theme, if you will. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're exactly right. We're using now, we're in power, which is what plainly the administration is. And we're using all these mechanisms in ways that we have never seen before in 238 years of our republic. And we're doing it in a way that basically says we can do it because we are in power. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe some federal judges will from time to time tell us we can't do it, but we may not even regard that. It is just this unadorned sense of power. And it raises the question that, again, James Madison did not answer, which is, what if you get people in these responsible positions who simply decide we're going to use that power and we don't care about checks and balances and those kinds of things? What do you do then when they simply say no? And that's what we've got going on now.
Richard in Waukesha has been very patient on the phone. Good morning, Richard. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, Richard.
Hi. My question to you, Jim, is when you have judges so many times, is this common that a judge, when he runs a trial, that'll actually become a legal prosecutor rather than a judge of the trial?
So it depends.
Thank you, Richard, for the call.
Yeah, Richard, what the focus of this is. The answer is that shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. You've got a judge who's supposed to be, and typically I believe in the system still, is impartial and lets the prosecution present its case, lets the defense present its case. Sometimes criticism is levied at judges for being biased in one direction or another, but the whole idea behind our judicial system and the three branches of government, including the judicial system, the court system, which is the third branch, is to say we're going to adjudicate, we're going to resolve disputes, and you can come in and be heard. I'll hear everybody. That's due process. And in the end, either a judge or a jury will make the decision. You shouldn't have judges who are making decisions based upon their own personal bias. And that, if I can make this even broader, Richard, from your good question, that's really the concern with the with the Supreme Court these days, right? Is it, are they really giving a balanced view to all these things coming in front of them? Or, as Ketanji Brown Jackson has said, we basically have no rules anymore. The rules we do have are the administration wins, or we've got just a lack of basic rules going forward. That's the concern when you get judges who are seemingly making decisions based upon their own political preferences. They should not be. They're supposed to be impartial. That's the oath they take, Richard. And if they don't take it, they should be either thrown out of office by the next election, or they should be asked to resign.
In the last few minutes we have left, Jim, there was one other thing you wanted to talk about regarding a complaint from the bar. Yes. On a lawyer and how that has to do with the Washington Post.
Right, exactly. So we've got this Washington Post reporter. Her name is Hannah Nattinson. You may remember her. She was the one whose home was searched. She was looking at thousands of federal workers and shifts, remaining workers, and the downsizing of government. Her location, her home gets searched, which is extraordinary. You normally cannot do that, again, because of the First Amendment. You have to get all kinds of permission from the Department of Justice to do it. It's just unheard of, especially when, as this administration has announced, she was not the target. She was not the subject of the underlying criminal investigation. They're just going in asking for her reporting materials, and they seized them. Washington Post responded, again, with abject horror, as we all should. And what has happened now is you've got a group of people who have come forward and asked the bar, the Virginia bar, to go after the attorney inside the Department of Justice who presented this to a magistrate judge. And their complaint says that this particular attorney likely violated the ethics rules in presenting this by not telling the judge about something called the Privacy Protection Act of 1980. And what does that law say? It really limits the search for reporting materials. And so if you didn't tell the magistrate judge about that, therefore the warrant to go in is flawed, and therefore you shouldn't have gone in. And so they're attacking this, not so much the court system, but the bar system, and saying that the prosecutor's name is Gordon Cromberg. He is inside the Department of Justice, withheld this information, violated his oath, and should be sanctioned for not presenting a full and accurate presentation to the magistrate, prompts a bad search warrant, prompts this all to happen.
Another example of processes not being followed, violating the law, and hopefully the courts will do something about that. And I will point out one really quick thing, that Jeff Bezos, a very big contributor to Donald Trump in the past few years, who also fired one third of the staff of the Washington Post, is the owner of that paper. And yes, just because you give him money doesn't mean he won't go after you. Mr. Bezos, do you like that your reporters are being handled like this? You've given money to this guy. Make a call. Do something. But it shows that there are no protected persons, even for a guy like Jeff Bezos. If the president doesn't like you, you are in his way, and he will get you out of the way. Thank you so much, Jim, for being here this morning. Jim Santel is the host of Amicus, a law review every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Catch it live or catch up by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Download episodes and listen to them there. But, Jim, have a great weekend. I'll see you on Saturday for the show,
yes,
but we'll talk
to
you very soon.
It.
All right, great. When we come back, what are you doing in the last few weeks of winter? How are you preparing for spring? We'll talk soon. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Civic Media Mid-Morning. Stay tuned. Stay close. Welcome, welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Network. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, your believer in all things enjoying the weather however you see fit, whether it's going out and cross-country skiing or staying in and watching that movie for the thousandth time. Do your thing, you jelly bean. You're here with us today. I'm happy you're sharing time with us. We're here for a little bit longer, but don't go anywhere after us. We got plenty more programming, including Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. So stick around. We got you here, and we're going to have a good Tuesday. If you ever want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We're streaming, of course, on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we have a handy tip from Greg. And then, tomorrow, let's see here. I can't find the thing. We got a great show tomorrow. I'm just going to put it that way. Let's just put it that way. I got a great show for you tomorrow. We'll talk about it more. But we are now in the portion of the show. We usually call this audio sorbet, where we take a breath, take a step back. There was a lot of talk about law, a lot of talk about laws, a lot of talk about the courts. Jim Santel is always great to have on the show. But now we're gonna lighten it up a little. And as we were discussing earlier today in the program, it is 40 days of winter is left. We have spring is springing on the 20th of March this year, which means we've got 40 days. And I want to know from you, what are you doing in these last 40 days? In these last few weeks, we seem this week to be having a good weather week. It's depending on where you're at. I'll speak for myself. In the Kenosha Racine area, we're supposed to have highs of the mid to upper 30s, possibly low 40s, which means snow might be melting a little bit more. But we know it's Wisconsin. It's February. I'm not going to get overconfident about it. We could get hit in the face with below 60 wind chills in a week and a half, and we'll have to do that together. But question I have for you today is, what are you doing in those last few weeks of winter? Are you finishing some indoor projects? Are you getting ready to springify your house? Are you going on a trip maybe to get out of the cold weather and come back to something a little bit warmer? Watching movies, reading books, doing something, doing nothing. That's also an acceptable answer. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on that live stream. And we are here again on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Dominic up in Madison right now. Tell me, Dom, do you have any, you know, the more I talk to you, the more I get to know that you are a man of great interests,
mm-hmm.
whether you're thrifting
mm-hmm.
or thrifting. That's all I got so far. But the point is there anything in these last 40 days you're doing that are going to, like, you know, take care of those winter weeks?
Like, I know, like you said, I do like to cook. I've been cooking for mm-hmm. the past few weeks, but I would say something else. I'm getting really into Fallout, the new Fallout show. I've been trying to finish that, at least for the last few weeks, where, you know, I just have to stay inside. Mm-hmm. So pretty much all inside stuff. I know after those last few weeks, once we're out of this, hopefully soon, I'm big on rip sticking too, so I'm gonna try and start rip sticking and
No, Dom.
What?
You don't just rip or rib?
Rip sticking.
Okay, you can't say rip sticking and just move on like that's a term that everyone knows. What is rip sticking?
Rip sticking is basically it's like a skateboard. So I skateboarded years ago. I'm only 22, mm-hmm. but it's basically like there's
back in my day.
That's what it felt like. Past few years, it's just two wheels instead of instead of four, and I feel like it's a lot harder to ride. So I'm trying to learn how to ride it, and it's really hard to explain. But you basically
is it the thing where your feet go back and forth and back and forth?
Yep. It's a big wiggle motion. Gotta get those feet on there. Gotta get the butt ready. Yeah. So
you've taken aspects of skateboarding and bicycling and made it smaller and way more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And you call it rip sticking.
Rip sticking. And there's a bunch of different rip sticking boards you can buy. And
of course there is.
There's a whole, like, people love going down that rabbit hole. And I'm one of them. And I really like rip sticking. It's just something I like to do.
I really enjoy that you just entertain new. So you said before that you just started cooking a few weeks ago. So this is something new you're discovering is cooking. You didn't grow up cooking. It wasn't a part of your everyday life.
Honestly, no. This is something new that I've just gotten into. You know, I cooked basic stuff, like, you know, I could put a
That's
pizza.
Where you start,
in the oven.
Buddy.
Yeah, but now I'm starting to get into some, you know, rigatoni and some, you know, steak, and I'm learning everything, Greg.
Are you when it comes to things like the pastas, you're starting small and you're buying the pastas and making them, or are you like looking at trying to make your own pasta?
Just buying pastas, making them, like just a bunch of ingredients, putting them together. Not making my own pasta. Oh, that's later down the road. Oof.
I was gonna say a lot of times what happens is that we now have access to so many things in this world that allow you to indulge your curiosities on a maybe a hobby, and I have fallen victim to this as well in the past, and I try really hard to keep myself from doing it because, one, money, and two, it's that thing of I really want to do this, and a week and a half later, like, oh, I have a $2,000 pasta maker here. Why did I do that? Why is everything on Amazon able to be put on layaway with no interest? So I think that's good. You're starting small. You're starting from the basics and working your way up. I think that's very, very cool. I think that's wonderful for many reasons. I think that cooking is a, you know, and I think personally that everyone should learn how to cook three or four meals. That way you have something. But also, it's just good practice. It's good to show kids how to cook something. I mean, and to me, like when you're talking about kids, cooking to me is making a sandwich because, you know, you meet people and you're like, you meet adults, they're like, I don't know how to do that thing. How do I turn on this oven? It's like, are you asking me that question for real? Or are you being funny right now? Because come on now.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I like the fact that are there other hobbies that you have indulged yourself in the wintertime maybe that are like more indoor friendly? Or is it, you're like rip sticking and cooking?
I would say I was a big soccer player in high school, mm-hmm. and I'm big into indoor soccer as well. So I have the cleats for that. They're not really cleats, but I've been really into soccer and just trying to get myself active because I know, you know, a lot of times where I'm just really lazy, don't want to feel like, and that's another thing with cooking, you know, it makes me want to do something. It makes me not want to go out and get McDonald's, you know, it makes me want to do something while I'm inside. So there's, it's a lot of active stuff. So
I think that's important. I don't know how you are or how other people are. And we've talked about this in the past on other shows where for me, when I want to do something, I have to sit down and say out loud, okay, I want to do this thing. So like this past year, one of the big things I did was clean out my garage and reorganize it, even though now I have to do it again because in the wintertime, everything gets put there. I have to sit down and say, I'm going to clean the garage. Okay, what does that mean then? What is my goal? How am I going to achieve the goal? What needs to be done to achieve the goal? How do I do this? Am I doing it in one fell swoop, which was impossible? That garage would still be a terrible mess if it was still, if I had done it, like, I'm going to wake up on a Sunday morning and do it over like 12 hours. Or what I did was I worked on it 2, maybe 3 hours at a time. Mm-hmm. And it took about 5, 6 days. But that's how I got it done. And like, especially when it's easy to be indoors on the during the winter time, it's easy to sit on the couch and do nothing and say, I'll do it later. And then you don't do it and you don't do it. And then before you know, you're like, oh no, I didn't do that thing. And then you find out when you do it, it's like, that only took me 35 minutes to do. My goodness. So yeah, I think anything you can do during the winter time to keep yourself active, it doesn't have to be exercise. It can be the cooking. It can be, you know, saying you're going to clean a room of the house every day, one room in the house every single day. That way also you're not cleaning it all at once because you're like, oh God, we have company coming over now. But I think that's very important. Folks, if you're out there right now, what are you doing in those last few weeks of winter before we hit spring? I've got recommendations for TV shows, books. We'd love to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. Of course, we are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can also call or text through the Civic Media app. I'm kind of preparing myself for spring, actually. I got to go to my garage. I got to organize it again. The whole thing with the organization of the garage last year was to park our cars in there during the winter, and that did not work out at all. So a new plan must be laid, new goals must be met, but I will do that. But yeah, I want to spring clean before it's spring. I don't want to do it all in one day. So like there's a closet organization project. There is under the sink, we need organization. So like in my head, I'm like, oh, here we go. Like I just did our bathroom, and that's what works for me, especially in these winter months when you can go stir crazy and you've watched everything on YouTube, everything. Is there anything, Dominic, that you want to, I imagine rip sticking is hard in winter, although right now I'm sure you got plenty of pavement to utilize. Mm-hmm. Unless you're just rip sticking through the house.
Not rip sticking. I have done that, but.
Is there anything in the springtime you're looking at saying, like, I want to do this thing?
Anything? That's a good question. I really want to know. Actually, funny thing. I want to know how to knit.
There you go.
I do. My roommate does it, and he shows me up every single time. He's always like, oh, man, look at this. I can knit. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, I want to know how to do that.
And, is it because you want to know, or is it because you feel like there's a weird competition?
I want to know, and I want to make something for other people. I feel like that'd be really cool. It'd be a really cool gift to give to other people. And I know, like I said, my roommate did that for over winter. He did it for Christmas gifts, and I was like, wow, that's a really good idea. I want to know how to do the basic tools of knitting. I think that would be really cool.
I think that that's very, very cool. Again, it's that skill. And my mom, who is fantastic at that, she crochets. She doesn't knit, but she crochets. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, every year, she would sit down over the course of like a week or two and make 200 little
insane
hats for preemies. She'd go to the children's hospital because it would take her all of 20 minutes to make one. So she would just make them, take a box of little hats for preemie babies at the NICU. She would do that, or she would make gloves or scarves and take them to the mission. And because it's all those things, like she sits there and she watches TV and she just produces all this stuff because she wants to utilize her craft and she wants to help people. And it's also about that staying active. Mm-hmm. Winter is very easy to not be active when you live in Wisconsin or the Midwest. So yeah, I think that's fantastic. I think that's great. You should learn how to knit. You should learn how to knit without telling your roommate. And then just walk and be like, check out these gloves. No big whoop.
Yep. All right. He knitted some.
And then you rip stick away.
He made like a huge blanket. I was like, what? How do you even know how to do this? And like, he just started a few months ago. I'm impressed with him. I'm not going to tell him that, but I am.
You should know, Domin. You should tell him.
Tell him? All right.
Tell him. Young men telling each other they are impressed, especially with something like this, that's important. Mm-hmm. Tell him he's done a good job. And then make something together. Make an even bigger blanket.
Ooh, okay.
Huge fort. That's an idea right there. That's not a billion-dollar idea, but it's an idea nonetheless. When we come back, a handy tip from Greg here on Civic Media Mid-Mornings. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome, welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach, your buddy, your pal, your host, your guy who thinks you should call that person. Here today with you on the last segment of the show. Don't you worry, we'll be back tomorrow. Lots of great show ahead. Tom Hartman after the 11 o'clock news. If you ever want to be part of the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Great show today. I'm really happy that Jim Santel was here. Always love having his voice on the show to break down not only what's going on in the world of law, but how we can stay up to speed on what's going on, because there's so much happening. And Dom, you know, good show. Did you have fun?
Jolly good show. Jolly good show.
Jolly good show. Oh my goodness.
Jolly. You know, Jim, he has the big vocabulary, and I'm trying to learn mm-hmm. words from him as well. So jolly is one of them, right? I think.
It's definitely a Jim Santel word, is jolly. That's a word he utilizes frequently. We got a great show for you tomorrow. I misplaced my doc, so I just have to be here. I'm sorry. I feel very unprofessional, but still. You're going to come around, hang out, we'll have fun, share your time with us. Now it's time for a portion of the show that we call A Handy Tip from Greg.
Welp.
Yep. Hope this advice is good, because it comes from the gods above with the angels singing their praises. What's interesting is that so we have something on this show called The Secret Show. It's on the live stream. It's between the commercials. It's still FCC compliant. It's user and family friendly. But we just talk about things off air of the radio that maybe we can't get to or is a little off topic. So we talked today a lot regarding like classic rock, specifically Pink Floyd, and how I know way too much about that band. You can always check The Secret Show by going on to the live stream and listening to what we're talking about. You can be part of that conversation as well. We got lots of great comments, whether it's tattoos, whether it's classic rock, or where to go shopping for your thrifting. We'll be talking more about thrifting tomorrow, because I have some thoughts. But during that live stream, during The Secret Show, we were talking about the fact that Dom up in Madison wants to learn how to knit. Mm-hmm. We talked about that during the audio sorbet. But he said that he wouldn't compliment his roommate on the fact that what his roommate's doing is really good. And I, you know, my tip to you and to me is very simple, mm-hmm. nothing new, but if you hear it, you can do it today. Reach out to that person out there that you've been wanting to talk to for a while and tell them they're great. Tell them you love them. Tell them you want to hang out. Grab a cup of coffee. If you have a friend who has a talent or doing a great thing, reach out of nowhere and just be like, hey, I saw that thing you did. It's great. Good work. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you goes a long way as well. I feel like, you know, in Dom's situation, it's a little bit more of, I would say, it's more of a young man rivalry machismo thing happening.
A little bit of a jealousy here and there. Yes, I will admit it is.
Understood. Those are feelings, and feelings must be felt. And how you deal with them is your own process. And I won't get in the way of that. And I will allow you to be valid and amazing. But I do feel like we live in a society where we're so bogged down and so busy that we want to do those things and tell someone they're great, tell them we love them, and we don't. Before we know it, we might not have the opportunity. I know this is nothing new, groundbreaking. No one's giving me awards for psychiatric depth on what I'm talking about, but I think it's very important when we live in a society where there's so much access to media and so much access to each other via social media, our phones, whatever, and we continue to not use it to as its intended purpose. It's to be social and to be forthcoming with our feelings. So, and yeah, I don't know what our young man demographic is on this show. I can't imagine it's a lot because, you know, the radio, but I hope they're here. If you're listening, do that. Tell your buddy that you're proud of them. Tell your buddy they like, hey man, you're doing great. That thing, dare I say, you tell your buddy that you love them. I make a huge deal about that with all my guy friends. I'm a lot older than Dom, But I still am a guy, and we suffer from a lot of that stuff of how to express our emotions properly, how to accept compliments. But tell your friends you love them. Tell your family you love them. Tell them you're proud of them. Reach out. Say hi. Let them feel seen. That can be the difference in a day. The amount of times I've gotten a message saying, oh my God, I didn't know, like, thank you. This is like, I'm having a bad day. This makes me feel so much better. You can be that turning point for them on the day they are having. So that's just my little handy tip. Reach out to the people you care about, reach out to the people you love, and tell them that. They might not know it or realize it, but you do. So let them in on the secret. You love them. It's great. So that's a handy tip from Greg here on The Big Show this morning. That was amazing, Dom. That was amazing.
I love
that. I really love that. I feel like the gravity of the voices, those angelic voices in harmony. Play one more time. Totally undercut by what the advice was, really, because I'm really telling you whatever their show is telling you all the time, because I just want people to be happy and healthy and get their feelings out, because that's important to me. But I hope it's important to you, and I hope that you do the same thing I'm about to do, which is show gratitude. I'm showing gratitude to Dom, to Tucker, to our engineering department, to our traffic department. Without them, this show doesn't work. I'm talking into a microphone that is inoperable. I also want to thank our callers, our texters, our live streamers, everybody who has participated in the show, everyone who's given us their time. Thank you. Without you, we do not exist. We're not here. And I want to thank Jim Santel, our guest today. You can catch Amicus, a law review, every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Civic Media. It's going to be a great show this Saturday. Listen to it live. Catch up on it by going to civicmedia.us/shows. But we're just happy that you're sharing time with us. We're grateful for that. We hope you have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Tom Hartman's on after the 11 o'clock news. Plenty of programming coming up. You're listening to Civic Media. Civic Media Mid-Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg. Have a good day. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay close.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.